It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
We're doing it live.
So anyway, to restart, basically, thanks everyone for watching. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting guy at UGASports.com, and Jim Donnan, the former head coach at the University of Georgia.
College Football Hall of Famer.
I was about to say, College Football Hall of Famer. One of the few coaches, or probably maybe one of the only coaches, to have ever led the NCAA in a rushing offense and a passing offense. So, and he won't tell you about all that stuff, and he'll downplay it, but Jim Donnan knows the stuff. People are still coming to him, asking him to speak everywhere because he knows football better than anybody. And so basically this show is us asking him questions and him telling us we don't know anything. And
it's a great process.
So anyway, if you have questions and you're on the 11 Alive Sports page, who, again, thanks to them, go ahead and send them in. Coach Donnan will answer them, or Jake will answer them, or I'll make up something. We have a lot of people here at Champies. They're more than welcome to ask us questions. We'll get to them as well. But before we get to thank all of our advertisers, Coach, I want to jump right into the fact that right now Georgia's football team has swelled. It is June 5th. The number one recruiting class in the nation has reported to the University of Georgia. So kind of give us your thoughts on these guys, if you saw any of them.
Thing here today is just, you know, it's Tuesday, June the 5th, and we've got about 100 days or so. I guess y'all count them down, 88 and out the gate. Keith Jackson, man, what a player he was for me. But I'm telling you now, I was just reflecting about what we're going to talk about today. But, you know, one of the things you always want to do is be thankful for your blessings. And I just was going over this squad that we have presently and also the guys that are coming in. Just to put it in perspective, to have 8 5-star players on one unit coming here is just – and for all of them to be here except for Cook isn't here yet, but he's in the process of getting here. But I'm just going to tell you right now, we got to get the Pointer Sisters in here. I'm so excited, I can't stand it, man. And I'm trying to keep the reality of the situation is that, you know, I don't want Kirby to get on me for hyping this, because I'm not hyping it as much as, I mean, the reality is the eyeball test is one thing, the tape test is one thing, but we've had 4 of these guys here all spring, you know.
Yeah.
Cox made a tremendous imprint. We saw what White could do. You know, last year, and now he's really had the good rehab, and then you know, just keep on going about Justin Fields, and then Cade Mays, as you know, fighting for the offensive tackle position along with another 5-star guy who is redshirted in Wilson. But then you add these guys that are, you know, other guys that are going to be coming in here. It's just very exciting. But 3 guys that just have my attention right off the bat. And first of all, I want to make sure to mention Hill, who wasn't even listed as a 5-star. It's in the top 10 on our team. But 3 guys that are here. Salyer makes my mouth water. Makes my mouth water. I mean, I watched the tape on him again last night, and he is a stud, stallion player.
You sound like Jake Roos about 2 years ago. Jake would not stop talking about Jamari Salyer.
I'm going to keep on going here. And then Quay Walker.
Really?
Are you kidding me? Got good length, good size, can really get bigger, but going to be – yeah. And then the guy that just overwhelms me that I had no idea was presence, Luke Ford.
Really?
Wow. Number 1 tight end in the country. That wasn't rated a 5-star.
No, not a 5-star, but still high 4-star, number 1.
Just really good-looking, smooth as a baby's ankle guy that can just do it. You know. I think without question we can talk about these other guys too coming in here, but 3 guys that just get your attention real quick on the eyeball test. And then the physicality and the size and the speed these guys possess, you know, going back and watching them like I did this week, just watching their high school tape and seeing, you know, these guys can really run, and that's a real trademark of Kirby Smart's teams. You know, he wanted to get bigger but also faster. And then we got, you know, we got Campbell here now on campus, Tommy Bush, all these guys just going to help our team, going to augment it. And, you know, the punters here, I mean, it's going to be Austin Peay, you better watch out. No, really, I mean, Austin Peay's got a good program, that's for sure. But it's going to be a very competitive fall camp, and a lot of guys are going to be getting in there and getting their opportunity, and we'll see how it goes. But I just want to give that a little bit of overview about the old coach here because, you know, when you get 73 like I am, and every day is a challenge. But
oh, please.
Right now, I'm serious about this right now. Just think we're going to cut some people like Bordenhouse pie.
Salad days.
We're going to cut it. We're going to cut their ass.
Coach, you were talking about Jamari to get things started. And I just kind of wanted you mentioned you watched the tape last night. I've seen him in person a lot of times as well. From my perspective, and I definitely haven't been around the game or covering the game or even alive as long as you've been involved with the game, but – where would you say he is technically for a freshman coming
well,
in?
Well, he just comes in with so much going for him because he's been extremely well coached. We saw that with Thomas. We saw how quickly he made the transition to go with his talent and his skill. You know, you just got to have some fundamentals. You just can't acquire that in 3 weeks. So I think he comes in there with a brute force type of coming off the ball, you know, with so much power that what we see so much with the evolution of college football, we see a lot of people moving around and not playing your head up, playing in a shade. The inside shade's a one technique, outside shade's a three on a guard, so a two is a head up. But when a guy gets in a one or three, now you got to have the footwork to cut them off or block down on them. And his footwork is just really good, too. And we saw with how Hill made such a big impression in the fall spring camp, and I think we'll see the same thing with Salyer. Maybe he might not be able to crack the lineup, who knows, right away. But I would just say this. If you were just going to have one of those deals and say, Kirby, your mission is to get two stallion guards, and if you don't, it's going to blow up on you. Nothing's going to blow up. These two guys are stud.
No doubt.
Well, they were number one and number two ranked guards in the nation. And here's the thing about, you know, when you look at Hill and Salyer, I've been watching the Rivals rankings for many years. You know, I've been involved in this for some time. Guards don't get ranked that high.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – and it's not a shot against guards. It's just that – you know, when you're looking at how these guys are going to play out in the NFL.
Let me just interrupt. Was Isaiah Wynn a guard in high school?
No, he's a tackle.
But he's about the same size as Salyer, right? Maybe not quite as thick.
Exactly.
But you're right there. I mean, you don't get those high ratings. People look at the big tackles.
Exactly.
And that's
I'll call it institutional bias, but at the same time, you know, when you're looking at a guy who's a guard, it's almost like, well, I'm not saying it's true. It's just that it's almost like you're a failed tackle. You know, you didn't quite get to the tackle
size.
You weren't big enough.
Exactly, right.
Right.
And we see a lot of these guys who play tackle in high school because they're the biggest kid on the team. They come to college and they move to guard. You know,
right.
And a lot of guards, you know, or younger guys get moved to center. Same when you go from the college to the NFL. You know, a lot of the tackles are, you know, NFL guards. And we see that, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that you're not going to rank a guy – you know, the top 10 in the nation as a guard because it's almost like it's almost an afterthought in high school. But when you look at what Hill did, you know, playing tackle, this guy was, he knew he was going to be a guard. Same, Salyer knew he was going to be one too. And they are great guards before they get there. That's why they were ranked one and two and very high in the top overall rankings. I mean, when you got a guy that's a five-star guard, you're saying this guy is going to go pro as a guard. And funny, in the NFL rankings, I mean, NFL draft this year, we saw a lot of guards drafted. So I think people are starting to understand that interior linemen are as important as your outside, you know, high money, big tackle.
You got to have guys in the pros, too, that can block guys' head up because you see a lot of 4-3 defenses where you don't have a man on the center, but both guards are covered. But also would augment this report on the get-go here, getting everybody fired up here before we start. All these eight five-star guys, but Anderson – come on. You talk about some guy with some arms and legs and I mean, just
and room to grow into that body.
I mean, and Luke Ford, like I just said, he's ranked. He's not a five star. I tell you what, now, so those two guys right there to me, and Tindall and Reese. Hey, you talking about a guy that passes the eyeball test?
No doubt
that. He'd come in here right now. I'd give you some champion's chicken, man. Hey, got good length, good-looking kid. And then Walker, I didn't have any idea he was that big. Did you?
I knew that he's tall. It's been a minute since I've seen him in person as far as weight.
240, 250.
Well, that's a lot bigger than he was the last time I saw him.
Maybe he's bigger than that, not that big. But and then that doesn't even talk about – the guy that just eclipsed Davis. I mean,
oh, yeah.
He's, what, 6'7", 350?
He's the guy that –
we're having a jump ball between him and Wilson.
Yeah, for him, that's what I was going to say.
They might break things.
You know, people want to talk about Isaiah Wilson and how big he was. That kid, to me, does not look significantly smaller than Isaiah Wilson. I remember spotting him across the field at Rivals Camp the first time I saw him, and I was like, who is that guy? It was Jordan Davis, and like you said, he damn near about blocked out the sun on us. So
that's good.
Physically, an imposing young man, definitely, no doubt about it.
Real quick, I think we were also overlooking the fact that Cook's not here yet,
right?
But Nadab Joseph isn't here. We know that Tramell Walther is going to Hutchinson.
Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of like Wyatt did last year. Yeah. But here's the thing about that not being here. I hate to keep jumping in, but I just want to – you know, in the olden days, we used to never have anybody get here until August because you couldn't bring them in early. Right. And there was always guys that were involved with having to finish up a course or do something like that. So, hopefully, that's going to be the case with Joseph and who – you know, and I don't know what Cook's situation. He'll be here eventually, but – but, you know, let's don't read the riot act there.
No,
but you're making a good point about for us to have out of 25 signees, we've got 22 already here, right?
Right, correct. And you had, you know, Warren Erickson and the other guys that, you know, enrolled early. What was it, 9 of them that were here early?
Yeah.
Yep.
So you had 9 guys who've already been through spring. You know, the other 15 are showing up now. And you've lost one to academics. Nadab Joseph is, you know, working through his thing. Cook, I expect to be here. And it's funny, when we talk about
– who did we lose to academics?
Well, that was – so with Walthour, that was the concern early on. Now, it looks like what ended up happening, I think, in the end, is they didn't have the numbers. But it looked like early on –
is that the one you're talking about?
Okay. Early on, it looked like it was going to be an academic.
I'm just asking for the fans out here, so we're going quick.
So Tramell Walther will not be enrolling with Georgia. He'll do the exact same thing that Devontae Wyatt did. Play 1 year at Hutch, come show up in
should be
December,
here in December, January.
You know, January. I did not expect him to play much anyway. That's a guy that definitely has to grow. You know, he has to put on weight, he has to put on muscle. Talented guy. Look forward to seeing him.
I would say if we're comparing the situations, I would say physically further behind where Devontae Wyatt was at the same stage in his game.
Fair. Technically, I like him, but it's just a guy that definitely he needs a year of growing. So that's not going to hurt Georgia. I don't think it's going to hurt him at all. You got two players that you're waiting on in Nadab Joseph. Cook, it's funny, we mention Zamir White all the time who's, you know, can't play right now. But James Cook, when he came to our Rivals camp last year, and we're going to have another one at the end of June, he came to the Rivals camp and absolutely blew it up, Coach. He could catch everything. He could run. You couldn't lay a hand on him. Of course, it's all two-hand touch. The guy was just a scoring machine in the 7-on-7s. And we started putting, you know, he played at multiple different positions, and we just couldn't find anybody to cover him. He was just that good. And we never talk about James Cook. And I think when he gets here, he's going to come in healthy. He's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder. You know, he's still referred to as Dalvin Cook's little brother. He's coming to make a name for himself. And I think
good point.
I think a lot of people are going to be surprised about the other five-star running back that Georgia has.
Yeah, we got good backs. Yeah. I mean, you add Swift, Terrien, and Holyfield to those two. And, you know, Zamir White just physical. I mean, just looks so good just walking around, you know. I mean,
He's running now, you know, what, 4 months after the surgery on his knee?
Yeah, he's ready
to go.
Still,
yeah, I mean, we're 88 days away, you know, so
he's
three
ready
months.
To go.
Oh, that kid – He's definitely going to play this. I can't not see him not playing. Especially, and he's thinking 3 years and gone.
You have to play him. Whenever he's ready, you throw him out there because that's all you're getting
so
out of him.
So just go, your recruiting guru, go through the backs we've had here.
If you look at it, I think well, do you want to compare them to these guys?
No, because you got
Marshall and Gurley.
Marshall and Gurley. And, hey, I saw Marshall the other day. He's over here rehabbing a little bit because, you know, hurt his knee last year. He's fired up about some of the coaching changes they made at Washington. He liked Smith coming in there. But he was talking to me about Zamir White. Hey, we got that North Carolina boy in here. You know, hey. He said, hey, he can.
Takes one to know
I said, well, you think he can outrun you? He said, maybe now.
Hey, remember, you know, Keith Marshall had the fastest time at the combine. Right. You know, got a nice little check from Adidas there for
and
that.
And then, so you got those two guys in Gurley. Then you come in with Chubb and Michelle. And
right.
Then you got
Harrion and Holyfield.
And now you got
and
these
then Swift. And now these two. And I think that, you know, if we're looking back over the history of these guys and size and all of that, I think the comparison between White and Gurley has been made several times. I know people have talked a lot about that. Physically, just a large kid, you know, kind of that same punishing running style that Todd brought. But James, I think, compares to maybe an underdeveloped version of what we saw from DeAndre Swift last year.
Well, that's pretty good.
He's skinnier for sure, but he's maybe slightly taller, not too much if he is at all. But he's not as he's not as bulky. But the thing is, he's such a good receiver out of the backfield,
right.
And he's such a dynamic weapon.
That makes
that you
a
can
great
split
point
anywhere.
Because with Chaney's offense, we saw the way he utilized getting Swift in there as what we used to call a T guy. It would go in there. It could be the slot on the weak side or the strong side, and can come out of the backfield in the flat, but also run reverses and stuff like that. But you know, you got guys that can show you their taillights.
Yep.
And that's the difference when you can make big plays. And your line's not that great, it really helps you. But when you make big plays and your line can physically dominate, and then it's hard to tackle these guys in space. I mean, it's hard to tackle guys when they're not getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. And that's where Todd Gurley got drafted so high. He proved that he could run downhill with guys hitting him in the backfield.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And nothing against our line, but that's why he went in the top 10.
Yeah, yards after contact.
Real quick here, I do want to take this question. You want to hit this first, and then we'll hop into some questions?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
First and foremost, we want to thank the rest of our sponsors. Of course, Champions Fried Chicken, where we're at right now. 11 Live Sports for us to be on their page. Athens Ford. I want to give you a quick story about the Ford F-150. I wasn't here last week. I was down in –
Tell us about your luxurious vehicle that you took on vacation.
Well, and I'll tell you something stupid that I did. Okay, so that storm's coming through. It's going to hit, like, Destin, the Florida Panhandle, Alberto.
Alberto, yeah.
And on that particular Wednesday or whatever, my wife and I decided that we would head towards the storm to go to a zoo. So we go down to the Gulf Breeze Zoo, take my son over there. On the way back, the storm's like right behind us. But we're like, hey, we're going away from it. We'll be fine. You know, it's going the opposite way. We're going this way. We're going to be good. We stopped to get some beds. We have a condo that we rent out, and we have two twin beds. The mattresses on them were there when we bought it. We need to replace the mattresses, so we stop at a Sam's in Pensacola, pick up two mattresses, two box springs. They fit in the tail bed of that truck.
Nice.
Four of them standing up.
There you go.
I'm like, this truck bed. Now, rent it.
I hope we bought a tarp.
No. We had a crew cab, okay? So my son's in the back seat, and he's like, Dad, this is the biggest back seat I've ever been in. He's back there, you know, lounging around. And, of course, we didn't think it through, so when we went to put the stuff in the back in the trunk, I still had those giant shore fishing poles in the back seat and his surfboard. We're able to take those giant fishing poles out, stick them in the back seat and the surfboard next to my son, so the back seat's gigantic, and we still have all the room in the tailgate. And, of course, what happens as we're loading it, pours down rain on us, so we drive back in the rain, and the mattresses were covered, you know.
Okay, good.
But just the point being, through the stupidity of myself of not cleaning out the truck bed and deciding to buy four mattresses or, you know, two mattresses and box springs. I was able to get it all in there, take all that stuff, stick it in the back seat with my son. It all fit. Drove down the road perfectly fine in a Ford F-150 that has more room in it than anything I've ever driven. So I'm just saying, swing out by Athens Ford. Look at the 2018 Ford F-150s. Look at the used ones they have. It's the only place you'll get one with a lifetime powertrain warranty. So even on a used one, you get, if it's got under 80,000 miles on it, they will give you a lifetime powertrain warranty. So swing by Athens Ford. And you too can buy a vehicle that is idiot proof, like the one that I used this weekend. So I'm telling you, I'm an idiot. The Ford F-150s bailed me out because I did not plan very well. I got caught in a storm. I'm carrying these giant beds, and the truck is just going through it like it was no big deal. So shout out to them. Let's turn to the question.
All right. We'll come back to the other sponsor. Michael Cagle asks one that we've been asked several times, but people are very interested in it, especially with what you were saying about seeing Jamari and these guys around campus. He says, hey, who's starting five on the line, first game? Put you on the spot, Coach. Who would you predict? I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but
I just can't make that. I'm going to wait. I've got to wait until 2 days and see how good good he is, and then how these other guys have progressed between the spring and now. I mean, you know, it's you could say that about a lot of positions, DB, everything.
I think you're going to see a push at both guard positions by freshmen. I think both Hill and Salyer are going to push those positions. And I'll tell you this, if those guys, center, in my opinion, center and left tackle are done pretty much. I think that, so you're talking about your right tackle. Is it going to be Cade Mays or Isaiah Wilson? And then who's going to land in those guard spots? I think that you've got a chance, like I said, to see either of those guys push. And I'll tell you this, whoever wins that spot, you can rest assured is a bona fide stud, because to beat out Jamari and or Trey Hill, even as freshmen, no small task.
Well, not only that, you might beat him out for that game.
Yeah, you got that competition. We saw in Cleveland, the way he made his move in the year last year. And, it's going to be really good competition. And the thing that's great about that, too, is – helps your quarterbacks too when you go out there and go against the one defense. Now all of a sudden your second team offensive line is pretty competitive and can give you a little bit more protection. And the same way with your backs and receivers. Now receivers gonna be really good. Get Bush in here to help along that. You know, I got another report this morning from Little Birdie that. Dominic Blaylock's over here for the 7-on-7. Now, you couldn't get that on just any normal show, could you?
Oh, sure. I did not know that. So, Dominic Blaylock's here.
And he looks smoother than a baby's ankles.
He is. That kid's been smooth for 4 years.
Stronger than bridge cable. Really, they say that we've talked about him being such a fluid guy. You
know,
and you mentioned it, and so have you, Jay, about – when you go watch a game, sometimes you watch these guys, and they just get your attention because they continually stand out, you know. But this guy, just so smooth. I mean, he's very, you know, Terry Godwin-like smooth. You know what I mean? Just
and a guy who I think a lot of people overlook because of Jaden Hazelwood.
Well, they are.
He's James Cook.
Right. You're exactly right.
But I tell you what I like about him. There wasn't any question about when he was a junior – where he wanted to come to school.
Yeah.
And I like that. There's nothing wrong with playing around, looking at everything and all that. But if you know what you want to do and that's what you want to do, step up and be a stallion about it. And that's the way he is. And I tell you, his daddy, I'm telling you now, had some of the best hands I've ever seen. Because I got to watch him the whole time I was at OU. His daddy was playing basketball at Mookie Blaylock, and I'm telling you, he could pickpocket people coming when they came across. I mean, he probably could take the ball away from Stephen Curry right now. And I know his mother's a good volleyball player, so he's got good genes. And hey,
he's raised correctly.
You know, his stepdad's a good guy. You know, he's a really good guy. And I'm fired up that he was here today. And I could say something about him, you know, legally, I guess, maybe. I don't know what you could say, but it's nice to hear that he's over here. And our camps are just such a great showplace to see how these guys do, you know. I mean,
it would be nice if they were open.
Well, maybe so, but.
Now, you mentioned.
I mean, I can't even. I don't even try to go over there because I don't want them to turn the old coach down, but. I'm serious about this, though. 7-on-7 camps, you can really evaluate kids and get everything. But
yeah, well, while we cover them, Jake was at one, what, this past weekend?
Yeah, this past weekend, yeah.
But I do feel like this as an old coach and recruiter and everything. I like to see a guy in a game against a really good team or against a rival. You know,
sure.
How's he play? when the band's really playing. Now, you can see all these guys in shorts. And I've heard Urban Meyer talk about that, too, a little bit. You know, I don't really want to watch a guy run the 40, do all that. I want to see how he plays in a big game. You know, how does he do? And
But why not do both?
Well, know? I mean, you got to do that to see if a guy. But at the same time, there's a lot of guys that can play really good 7-on-7. You know,
absolutely.
But you start there and you start identifying them. And we've seen this at 7-on-7s. I mentioned this to Jake the other day. We were out at Georgia one, and I won't mention the quarterback's name, but there was a young quarterback that a lot of teams were looking at. He came to Georgia 7-on-7, and we watched Mike Bobo and who else was there? John Lilly.
Sure.
Mark Richts. Mm-hmm. A couple other – Brian McClendon. And they're all standing behind him, you know, because the teams, they use half the field and they go forward. They're all standing behind him when his team gets out on offense. And the kid locked up. I mean, before they showed up, he was hitting every pass.
Well, that's
the coach
tough,
standing
yeah.
behind him, he just – he couldn't make a pass to save his life. When they left, he loosened up again and threw well. And, again, it's –
what did they used to call that thing when they had that bulldog – what was it when they had that Friday night or something? They come over there.
Dog night.
I went over there when Eason was going into his senior year, and he looked good. I mean, you know,
yeah,
he's throwing McColk, but I tell you who got my attention that night was Lawrence.
Oh, right? Sure.
He was going into 10th grade.
Yeah, right? He was. Yes. Yeah. They had him, Fromm, and Eason,
yeah,
I think, all throwing at that
yeah,
camp.
Yeah, Fromm looked good in that, but I asked Bobo, I said, who's that guy in the long hair?
Yeah, the guy that caught my attention was Cam Akers that day.
Well, I guess so, Cam Akers.
We weren't sure exactly who he was. He's down there running 40s on in the stadium.
All we knew was that this guy showed up late, and he walks down, and there's people giving him a lot of attention, so I'm like, maybe that something's going on here. And he lines up to run at 40, and he takes his shirt off, and I was like, I don't know who that is, but you need to get pictures of him because that kid is definitely a player. And sure enough, it was Cam Akers.
He stripped out of his underwear and ran a 40-yard dash at a blistering time. And then he's looking at us in the stands. He's like, hey, like, who are you?
Now you're going to tell me. Now you're going to tell me he ran him in tennis shoes.
No, he was in his tennis shoes. He was in tennis shoes. I couldn't use the photos because he's in his underwear. I'm like, why are you running in your underwear, dude?
You could have had a brief picture.
Well,
a brief picture.
Oh, my God. Coach, if you're going to pun, I'm going to get Russ Tanner back here.
All right, hey, let's go
People
for
are
some
asking
questions.
Actually where Russ is and why you're back.
I'm sorry, folks.
Russ got some good colloquialisms or whatever you call
it.
Yeah,
Russ actually has a life, so he can't be here every week.
Eb Harding and Charles Kaiser both with a question about recruiting today. What's the deal with Jalen Humphreys?
Ooh.
Rivals 250 defensive tackle out of Mountain View High School in Lawrenceville, a guy that just committed this morning to Florida, or announced his commitment anyway. A guy that
really this morning.
This morning, yeah, went public with that.
That really chaps my ankles.
he's a kid that, you know, it seemed like Georgia. I'll say this. There was a lot of hot and cold in this recruitment.
Do you think we were on him?
I think that it had been up and down. I think that right now was kind of a down. And I think that in the meantime, LSU and Florida had gained the momentum. Now, part of that, I still think it stings. It depends. You can say whatever you want about did the coaches want him, how much did the coaches want him. I still think it stings because it's a position of need. It's a kid nearby to home. He grew up a Georgia fan. His whole family's Georgia fans. He brought like 18 of them to the G-Day game. You had so many things working in your favor. And the way that these defensive tackle classes have gone the last 2 years, I really just don't think you can afford to pass on a kid who should have been a slam dunk for you and has some high upside. Now,
well, you never know, though. It might be somebody outside the outside the state that we're after. I know they got their standards pretty high there, and so – that's a real downer for me. I was hoping that – I didn't realize he was that close to committing.
He did not seem like he was necessarily, but that kind of came out of the blue. But, you know, a guy who I think this suddenly ups the ante for huge is C.J. Clark out of North Stanley High School up there in North Carolina. I think that he's a guy who's visited several times recently. It looks like Trey Scott's pouring in pretty heavily there.
What's his name of the school, North Stanley?
North Stanley, I believe, is where C.J. Clark is.
Well, also means you can't miss on Trayvon Walker.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That was – listen, you can't miss on Trey, period, in my opinion.
We're going to be all right there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, not that the Humphreys was a backup plan, but you know, if you were looking at Walker and Humphreys together, now you're looking at Walker and Clark together, it was maybe – a little bit, to me, it might have been easier to pull in Humphreys because he's so close with all the history that you
absolutely
mentioned. You know, but now you got to go out of state and pick a guy in North Carolina. And Georgia's had fantastic success in North Carolina. But now remember, Tennessee is going to do what they used to do when you were coaching. And, you know,
they're going to work
Phil,
it,
when it, I mean, Tennessee was – I mean, North Carolina was Tennessee's playground. They pulled kids out there all the
especially,
time.
Especially Western North Carolina.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, they were phenomenal there.
You know, I think that you always look – and we said this on the show. You look at states where schools aren't really doing that great. You know, North Carolina's been down the last couple of years. NC State's had a pretty decent year. But nobody in North Carolina is really, you know, driving it home. And I think we're seeing South Carolina go in there and get that kid out of Charlotte that
Clemson's
we wanted.
Done well.
Clemson's
of
course, living Clemson's, in North Carolina.
Clemson's going to always do good up there. Their 1980 national championship team was a real North Carolina
very heavy squad.
And I just want to make mention of it right now. My deepest condolences to Dwight Clark's family. You know, the guy that made the catch against in the big game when the 49ers were playing the Cowboys. He was a great receiver for Clemson. I got to know his family real well. We recruited him from North Carolina. And he really, it was a great example of he was just there. And Steve Fuller was working out, the great quarterback, and Coach Walsh came in to work him out, and they needed some receivers, and they brought Dwight Clark out there, and he wasn't even going to get drafted. Coach Clark, I mean, Dwight Clark really impressed, you know, Coach Walsh, and he brought him in there and gave him a free agent, and the rest is history, right?
Sometimes you just need a break.
But he was a really good offensive quarterback in high school, and he moved – to receiver in college, but that's neither here nor there. But just 61-year-old, you know, just hard to believe it went that fast.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Way too young. I want to jump in real quick when you're talking about Humphreys,
yeah,
Jalen like that.
Yep.
You know who you saw him tweeting about his visit to Florida, and I mentioned Ty Grantham knows how important it is to get these guys. And the next day, Ty Grantham has one. I know a lot of people like to rip on Ty Grantham and make fun of Third and Grantham, but there's a reason he's a highly coveted defensive mind. There's a reason Louisville agreed to pay him $5 million over 5 years, you know, an unheard-of guaranteed contract after he lost to Georgia.
Because Kirby told Oakland about him, and Oakland offered him a job, and then Louisville had to match it.
Yeah. So, there's money there. Now he went to Mississippi State, and he follows Dan Mullen to Florida. I will say this. I won't get into whether or not he's a great defensive coordinator, but the man, he actually enjoys recruiting. Now, he's been hit or miss in his successes, but when he's got his hooks in somebody, he's pretty good. So, again, to me, the SEC East, it looked like Georgia's going to run away with the East, but right now, when you have Pruitt at Tennessee, you know, Mullen
it's different.
At Florida.
It's tougher right now.
The recruiting right now. And Muschamp at South Carolina,
yeah, you got
that's three phenomenal recruiters, and they're filling their staff with great recruiters. And right now, right. It's our business. We cover recruiting every day at UGASports.com. But the point being, 27 cents a day. The SEC East right now, I don't know that Georgia's going to have a hard time running the table like it did with 8 5 stars.
Sure.
And the year before when you had 12 rivals, 250 kids versus 14 for the entire SEC East. You're not going to be able to do that again.
You just took advantage of the situation and really.
And it's going to pay off in the coming years, but for people looking for Georgia to repeat that, and it's going to be damn near impossible considering
who you
got there.
I saw a good picture the other day. Had National Donut Day, and it had 41 donuts. Now, to me, that really was cool, didn't you? Tell us who we beat 41-0.
That was Tennessee.
Yeah, what color were the uniforms? They were smoky gray. Now
that's true.
I noticed Pruitt's not going to let them have any more smoky gray.
I want to say this, and this is something that I've been kind of thinking about. And, Coach, I'm just interested to hear your perspective on this. I think that this is a tough class for Georgia to recruit in for a very distinct reason. And it's part of it is, you know, that class that came before it. But part of it, I think, is the fact that this team made the national championship with the talent that they already had. And in a lot of cases, they're going to be replacing those guys, not with more experienced guys, but with higher-rated guys who are considered to have more upside.
And everybody's using that against
us. That's right.
And you saw that with Morris going to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, here's an offensive lineman 50 miles from here, five-star, that you know, good player, but I mean, you know, we got them stacked up in here too. So you got to look. They're telling them, hey, you can come in here and play early, but you never know about that either, because really, sometimes the real great ones don't really get that too fired up about it. So, but you make a good point. I think your competition is your competition, you know, and if you just look at the blueprint that five teams in this league right now are using. That evolved from Coach Saban, even though you have your own personality within it, you know, which Kirby has his here, but you got Jimbo Fisher, you got Kirby, you got Muschamp, you got Pruitt, and you got Saban. And to a certain extent, over at Auburn, you've got Kevin Steele, who was there at Alabama, sure. Right in the midst of a really good run. So I'm sure he's had a lot to say about all those different people that are helping them augment their program, their analysts, the way they practice at Auburn. So you got six teams out of 14 doing about the same thing, you know, as far as recruiting.
And a lot of guys, even to that point, a lot of guys still left over from the Jim McElwain era at Florida, obviously. So you've got guys who were brought in under those philosophies.
Well, they already had that there, yeah, but yep. They've made a massive change in their weight program, sure. I know. But there's no question, any kind of offense over the last 5 years at Florida, they probably win seven or eight more games.
Oh, absolutely.
That's going back to Will. You know, they've had really outs. Look at all the guys they got in the pros on defense. Man, I mean.
That's ridiculous. Some of the defenses were phenomenal. It's funny, all that competition.
Some good defensive coaches. When you look at the guys that have coached at Florida in defense, let's just go over that. One of them's the head coach now at the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah. C.J. Durkin's the head coach at Maryland now.
Yep.
These guys are coordinators under Coach Muschamp there. So that. Two premier coaches there on
Jeff
defense.
Jeff Collins, if I'm not
mistaken.
And then
Jeff Collins, the head coach at Temple, did a good job too. He's got a Nick Saban background. He was a lot like Pruitt. He used to work as a started out as an analyst at Florida. So just not saying that you got to do everything the same way, but there's no question that where you're brought up and what you learn, you're seeing a lot of the same style with the way people are setting their staffs up and all that.
No doubt.
And it'll carry over in recruiting, too.
Well, speaking of all that competition, it kind of reminds me of the beer scene in Athens, Georgia. Now, right now, we're knocking back these I've got the Dom Kolsch by Academia.
I knocked mine back.
Dude, we're 40 minutes in the show. Okay.
Way to knock it.
They didn't bring it to you until 10 minutes after.
I was parched.
Where's the groceries?
Yeah. So I want to mention something happening at Academia. They are a huge sponsor of our show. On Friday at the Tap IT in downtown Gainesville, Tap IT in Gainesville, they're hosting a Taste of Athens, an event bringing together all four of the Athens breweries.
Woo.
So you get Academia beer there and selections from Terrapin, Southern, and Creature Comforts. So that's kind of neat. Plus, they're going to have some farm-inspired dishes from Gonzo Gourmet Food Truck. So that'd be kind of cool if you want to go to.
What time does that start?
They just said on Friday, so I'm assuming I'd get over there for dinner, Tap IT. Thursday at the brew pub here in Athens. Now, here's the thing. What sets Academia apart from, you know, Terrapin and Southern and those guys, they actually serve food, and it's phenomenal food.
It is. It's good food. Really, really good.
Yeah. So you get a chance, swing by there and eat. This Thursday, they've got a local musician, Justin Bridges. He's going to be hitting the stage at 7, so that's going to be fun. But to me, what's more important, interesting is Wednesday, they're going to be hosting an in-house tap takeover. So Cherry Street Brewing, the cooperative out and coming, is coming in at 5 p.m., to take over their taps at Academia.
Let me tell you something. As somebody who loves beer, I love their approach to the community that they're
doing.
That's
what I'm saying.
They carry Terrapin. They carry Creature Comforts. And they carry Southern. And that's the only brewery in town where you can go sample all four of those beers. You'd have to go touch each of them individually otherwise.
Well, explain to them how you say sample. I mean, they, you know, you want,
they have them on tap.
You got a deal where you can just say, hey, I'd like to take a couple swigs of this.
It's called a flight.
Yeah.
All right. So you basically get a little board, and it has a small glass with, what is it, about two, 3 ounces?
Yeah, it's about about 2.5.
And so you get to try, you know, four beers or five beers in a flight, then they can bring you another flight, and you can try. Because here's the thing. If you go out to Academia, they've got, you know, like sometimes there's like 16 different beers out there. I mean, you know, and different variations in one.
So on your
style.
Fourth flight, you're ready to rock and roll.
You're ready to take flight at that point.
You're ready to Uber at that point.
What's so cool to me about that is I think that that's such a good commentary on how they feel about their product. They know that they can stand up against anybody, and they're right.
And they can.
I like that. And hey, show me the money. Man.
Exactly. For all the people down in Evans and the Augusta area, we talk about them, and you're not here in Athens, so you don't get to try Academia, but you're going to get your chance. Tuesday, tonight, they're going to be at Tip Top Taps in Evans, and they're doing a tap takeover starting at 4 o'clock, so in just a few hours they'll be there. And Thursday at 5, they're going to have a tap takeover at the Hive in downtown Augusta. So, again, Tuesday today at Tip Top Taps in Evans, there's going to be a tap takeover by Academia, and then they're going to do it again Thursday at 5 o'clock at the Hive in Augusta. So, big shout-out to them. Also, I want to, while we're talking to some of our sponsors, I want to mention YourPie. They are continuously adding new locations, and now I actually had someone reach out to us from Texas.
Wow.
Was thinking about getting a franchise out there. I can tell you right now, this is a great idea. I really want to open one in Orange Beach.
Shout out to these guys coming in today too. We got the Your Pie guys here with us. We got Drew French. Yeah, right.
Oh, Drew! Hey, the man, Drew French.
I said hello to Drew when we came in.
Drew's the big CEO, co-founder of Your Pie. He's here. Thanks, Drew, for being a sponsor of the show. We're gonna raise our rates because you're here. Drew, again, a huge Georgia fan, big guy. A Georgia graduate, an alum, has been mentioned on 30 under 30, corporate CEOs in the country. And if you want a franchise, that's the guy to meet. Again, I think if I opened one down in Orange Beach, I'd never come back. So
I was worried you weren't going to come back
just
anyway.
So it's a possibility. So if you get a chance, reach out to Drew French and Natalie, and they will set you up with a franchise. I mean, it's got.
How many you got now, Drew?
58. We were mentioning 50 the other day. It was 48. Then I said they're hitting 50. Now is it the 50? So, again.
That's impressive.
Get in before.
Hey, what do you have? How many did you have starting in 19, first of the year to now? How many have you had?
10 this year.
It's May. Or it's June.
Hey, yeah, that's pretty strong.
Halfway through the year. There you go.
It's fine. We're doing the first few days.
Why not?
Anyway, hey. Big shout out to him. And of course, I also want to say shout out to 365.
I can
game
tell you
game.
One thing. He's not worried about third and six. That means third and six from a coach. It's something you worry all the time about. But when you got 58 of those babies going, and you got a good product, too.
Great product.
I think Roddy is one of the best guys to describe that one pizza. Tell us what it is, your favorite one.
It's a Southern Heat.
What all's on it.
Well, you're going to get your chicken on there, and you're going to get your buffalo sauce on the dough that they make. They make the dough in-house. You can get gluten-free dough if you believe in gluten. I don't. no, but if you want to get one of those gluten-free ones, you can. But they're going to take the dough. They're going to spin in front of you. They're going to lay it out. They're going to put their sauce on it. They're going to put the that hot sauce that I love. It's phenomenal. Then there's a ton of chicken. And then red onions, cilantro, whatever you want on there. Then you can add to it. And it's not.
How about your favorite Italian thing that begins with a P? Pronounce it.
The panini.
No.
Prosciutto. Prosciutto.
That's what I was going to say.
Italian ham.
It's peach prosciutto season at Your Pie. Get out there and try that. That thing knocks it out the park, dude.
It sounds terrible, but we had it. Because I was like, I don't want peach on my thing, but it's the same concept of
sweet and salty, man.
Yeah, people that complain about pineapple.
Peach. Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, don't put pineapple on
it. But it's nothing like pineapple. But it's not so hard and acidic.
When you think of a pineapple, on a pizza, the first time you hear about it, you're like, that sounds dumb. And then you eat it, you're like, this is phenomenal. It's the same with that peach prosciutto. It's like, this is great because it's so sweet. It's peaches from a grower that they know. They're not getting them out of a can. And they do charity stuff all the time. So a big shout out to Your Pie for being sponsors.
Oh.
Also, shout out to 365 Game Day. If you need your championship gear, get it from 365 Game Day. You can get it from Rivals.com. You can go to UGASports.com up very the top. You can get all your gear. We'd appreciate that, but I'd also appreciate it if you did it from 365 Game Day just as well. Carson out there, another Georgia alum, and everybody we're talking about, be it Academia, Yuripi, Athens Ford. These are all UGA alums. You are supporting other UGA fans
What do they say in the stadium? Support the businesses that support the dogs.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah. Support the businesses that support us. You know, when you go in and take care of them, we appreciate it.
All right. I want to switch gears a little bit. I know we talk a lot about football on this show, but I think that this deserves to be talked about, and that was Georgia's run in Super Regional, yes. Georgia baseball. Yesterday, just a heartbreaker, man, for them.
It was tough.
Roddy, I know you got a chance to go out. You were shooting the games. You had a chance to take in several of them. Dash was there all season covering it like nobody else.
Fall ball.
The overall state of the program. I mean, for a lot of people, this seemed disappointing, but should they be disappointed?
No, they shouldn't be disappointed. And I made this point on Twitter, and again, trying to be – I'm just being – reactionary on Twitter.
I just want to interrupt before. There's one thing to be disappointed, you know, but what you're going to say is you look at where they came from and what they did, but surely the players and the coaches, they got to be disappointed. Yeah. I mean, having that right there in there. But go ahead. You got to be looking at the grand scheme of things. That's what you're going to give us, right?
On the season, you can't be disappointed. On the regional, you can't be.
Sure.
I mean, the sub-regional. Georgia wins its first two games in the sub-regional. They only need win one more. You know, Duke comes in without, you know, having burned through a lot of their pitching, and they've got to go win two against you in your home stadium. And they were able to pull it off. You know, the guy they threw in that last game was, he was like 2-5 or 3-5.
From Lovett, though. That's a lifetime dream of coming over and throwing against us.
6.2 ERA. This is not exactly their lead guy. You know, the Fighting Camels had lit him up earlier in the series. So you knew that Georgia stood a good chance to win that decisive game, but they just couldn't get it done. I mean, there were and you can't point to any one thing that really broke them down except maybe their starting pitching, but, you know.
Wind helped, though. Wind blew some balls out, didn't it?
But it was blowing for Georgia when they were batting, too.
And I think that you touch on, you know, the pitching. And at that point, man, you could see by the end of that game yesterday, I mean, dudes were gassed. Everybody on that field was gassed.
But to give him credit, you know, the Duke pitcher stayed in there. He was 114 pitches, mm-hmm. you know, and Georgia was on its third by then. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a guy you thought you were going to light up, and he's – keeping Georgia as a much more lower scoring game than we expected. But point being, Georgia was selected to finish fifth in the SEC East. Not fifth in the SEC, fifth in their division. There's only seven teams over there. That's what people thought of Georgia baseball. So those guys were actually able to get a national seed, number eight national seed. That's where they went. And, I mean, the coach was supposed to be fired. The players were all going to transfer. It was going to be a rebuilding year. Greg McGarrity sticks with him. The team responds. The coach responds. Hell of a season. Yes, it's disappointing that they didn't get to the regionals. You know, they didn't
super
win the
super regionals.
Yeah, the super regionals. But the fact that they were there, that they were hosting, that's a phenomenal season. And now you have a situation where, you know, a guy who was selected, was ranked 18th by MLB.com, you know, is the Georgia commit, this morning decides, you know, we have some unfinished business to do. He's going to come to Georgia. This kid turned down millions.
I'm glad to hear
that. And not only that, what does that remind you of? Some unfinished business. Maybe four seniors coming back and all of a sudden, you know, Georgia playing for a national title.
It's just like football, but it's really a tough league. Man, look how many teams. Well, we got six. How many teams are in the super regionals now? I know Mississippi State, Florida.
Four at least.
Six.
Six.
We got four.
They're all playing each other.
We got four playing each other and then two others. But it's I'm happy for Scott. I mean, you know, he's worked hard, you know, and he just sometimes, you just don't get – you can't get over the hump on – but really big year,
And here's the thing about baseball. You got all these guys splitting, you know, they're getting a half, third, quarter of a scholarship. These aren't guys who are getting their entire full ride paid for them. You have volunteer coaches over there.
Yep.
You know, I mean, these coaches aren't being paid a ton of money. Very little fan support. Very disappointed in the folks in Georgia. Now, granted, I understand there were rain games and Georgia did buy out its allotment of tickets. But you bought tickets for the championship game. Congratulations. Where were you, you know, when they were hosting Arkansas and Ole Miss and these other teams, you know?
Sure.
Where were you when, you know, they were playing these, you know, those Tuesday afternoon games and there's 100 people in the stands?
Where were you?
That's just
– yeah, I mean,
and then they get – the same people go on and they complain about the team losing the sub-regional. I'm like, look, shut up. If you weren't there in fall ball or, you know, for even the Georgia-Georgia Tech series, There's still a lot of room in the stands.
Hey, yeah, and it's the same. It's the same in baseball as football. You know, where were you when Georgia was going toe to toe with Nicholls State?
Yeah.
Where were you when Georgia dropped one to Vanderbilt, 17-16? Now they're on the come up, and it happened very quick. I think that you're in a situation with the baseball team where it seems like they're hovering right around that area right now. Can they make the breakthrough? The addition of Cole Wilcox is huge,
and I hope that happens. That you know, because now all of a sudden, Georgia fans see the potential. They remember what it was like when Georgia was winning big games, winning big series. There were 26 Duke fans there, and I could hear those 26 Duke fans over the 300 to 400 Georgia fans that were in the stands by far. And it's not like that Duke had a 18-1 lead. You know, the game was still in contention, and those Duke fans were cheering, and the Georgia fans were dead silent. It was very disappointing. But if you get the frats and sororities to come back, you know, when the students are in town –
Monday game's hard, though.
I understand that. But I'm saying, throughout the year, if you can get those fans to come back, it is a fun event hang out. It's baseball. It's America's pastime.
This is the way I feel about it. I felt about it like that when I went to college. Duke, Dookie, Dookie, Dookie.
Totally apropos of nothing Georgia related. I did want to ask you, Coach.
That's the way it is, Dookie.
You got the Oklahoma ties. Kyler Murray selected ninth overall.
There's some people in the fetal position out there now. I mean, come on. I had a lot of nice
to see
you.
Man.
Thanks for all your help.
Came out today and said he was going to play football this fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal for him to play. You know, the guy went to Texas A&M, didn't really get to play much, and then he leaves and has to sit out a year, and then the year that he's playing, he got the Heisman Trophy win. I mean, deep down he knows he's going to be a pro baseball player, but he wants to be a football player. I mean, they got the perfect system for him. He's a human jet back there. I mean, you know, he got a good arm. And hopefully for OU, he'll play this year because they put a lot of time and energy into developing him to be the quarterback. They got a good guy backup too that's in there. That's a young guy, but I'll tell you, they got a kid out there from coming in there named Rattler from out there.
Oh yeah, Spencer Rattler.
That was picked number one, the Elite 11 last weekend. Out there, and Bruce Feldman was talking about what a good athlete he was to go with his throwing ability. But, you know, it's not an Oklahoma show, but the realism is that, you know, when you work so hard to get a kid like that playing to be your quarterback, and then he's offered $5 million, come on.
Yeah.
That's what they get, I mean, for that ninth pick. But anyhow, we got any more questions here? We've run the gamut here, man.
We've been all over the place. We've talked baseball, Oklahoma football, the MLB draft, a little bit of everything. Brian Murphy has a quick one for us talking about we were talking about Zamir White, obviously. He says, when do you think Zeus will see the field? Or given the depth, do they keep him on the sidelines for a bit? I think as soon as he's Zamir White.
Who was that it asked?
Brian Murphy.
What time are we playing the Austin Peay 3:30 on ESPN? Between 3:30 and 4 on September 2nd. Isn't that
agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
Maybe between 3:30 and 3:31. Depends on whether we return the kickoff or not. Come on, man.
How quick can we get a 3-and-out? Is that what you're saying, Coach?
No, I'm serious. He's going to be on the field. And that's nothing against anybody we got. But we're going to – all those guys are going to play. We played a lot last year. I mean, who would have said – you said the same thing about Swift. When's he going to get in? But, hey, he came in there.
I need to ask our stat guy, Dave, how many freshmen played out of Georgia's last class. I mean, I think they only redshirted, what, 5 guys?
Isaiah Wynn – or, I'm sorry.
Wilson, Notori Johnson.
Speed.
Speed, Breeny. Did Breeny
– I think that was – I think that may have been your 5.
Yeah,
I think Bishop played some, and
I think he played some special teams.
Webb played because
Webb played.
And I've heard Webb really looks good on the rehab too. You know, we got some good defensive backs. You know,
Webb out there, and I
we ain't even had a chance to even talk about Tyson Campbell.
I was just about to mention, Tyson Campbell, the 5-star. This might be the steal or the biggest impact in the entire class, and we
Very you go country. Down there to Miami and get a guy like Tyson Campbell, who's
that
third in the state.
Lights
in
the, out.
But we got a 440 track team, relay team.
Yeah, we do.
You know,
absolutely.
You put Hart. Who would run the? Who would run the opener? We got White, Campbell,
Hardman,
and
Tyler.
We
Simmons.
Could probably let. We could probably let Salyan run the base. He could bring it home.
No, I'll tell you, Eric Stokes is your guy.
Yeah. You put those four in there, they could compete.
You lead off with Eric because Eric's going to give you a lead on everybody.
That's another program that's got a shot here. And our track team's doing well, you know, in the NCAAs. And I give a shout-out to a local guy, David Dwyer's son, is running in the mile really close to breaking the 4-minute mile, which is pretty good. Now, you know, it's hard to win an NCAA. You got to be a little faster, but always good to see local guys go out there and do like that.
We got one last one here. Charles Kaiser says, anything on Joey Yellen? I did confirm the other day that Joey Yellen, the three-star quarterback out of Mission Viejo High School in California, is visiting today, June 5th. So he's on campus. Definitely a guy I think is going to be a guy that you have to continue to watch. Doesn't have a lot of those in-state offers out in California, so I think that benefits Georgia in that way. You know, the reality of the situation is they're going to have to go out and work and find a guy. I think Yellen's a very good prospect. He's a tall guy. He can really sling it. So.
Hey, before we get off, tell us about the quarterback at Buford that was out there to lead 11. How good is that kid?
Aaron McLaughlin?
No, the other.
Oh, no. Lanier. That's Lanier. Yeah.
Is he at Lanier?
Yeah, he's at Lanier.
Calzada.
How yeah. Zach Calzada, yes.
Calzada.
Zach Calzada.
I heard he had a big arm. He's a late bloomer. And he's a guy that we might recruit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know.
That's why you listen to this show, man.
Personally, I don't know why Georgia hasn't already moved on him. I think maybe they want to get him in.
They offered
camp,
everybody else.
Get a chance
I heard
to
he was
him,
coming in here
but
this
he's
week.
He is a kid that I definitely expect will get an offer from Georgia. Do you want to talk about late bloomers? He definitely is.
Got a big arm. I like to see guys like that. You know, come on strong and maybe not have as big. You know, there's lots you can do between your junior, sophomore, junior, going into senior year. So, but we got to get this quarterback in this class.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, that's a pretty good show for the old. Glad to have you back, Roddy. I mean, we bust you up a little bit, but, you know.
I appreciate it, Coach.
It's really, and we appreciate what everybody did last week.
It was, thanks Russ Tanner for stepping in. And
Russ stepped in really well, and we didn't.
If you liked last week,
our mechanics were pretty good last week. Though.
If you liked last week, wait until the second week of July. And
what happened?
Then
are you going somewhere?
I'm going.
Hell no, I'm not going anywhere. I don't ever get to go on vacation.
Where's
he's going.
Where are you going in?
I will be gone for 3 weeks in July. I'm going flying into Amman, Jordan. Then I'll spend 10 days there, then 11 days in Cairo.
Half the summer this guy's taking off.
You going to Cairo?
Mm-hmm. I got family I haven't seen over there. And
I told you not to go over there.
18 years. So
that's great.
All my
that's
cousins great. Are married. They got kids of their own. I got to find out who all they are.
I need to go see a guy I know over there. His name is Amal Nadim.
Really?
Yeah, he could probably set you up with an F-150.
I bet he could. All right, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday at noon. We'll try to be a little more in time and with our audio working. Quick shout-out to Champions Fried Chicken for letting us come in here, 11 Live Sports for letting us be on their page, Athens Ford for sponsoring our show and our website. Remember, the website's only 27 cents a day. EuroPie for coming in here and cutting up with us. Academia Brewing for letting us drink their beer and basically feeding us when we swing out by there. Cable East, big shout out to Robert Wall out in Statham. Cable East, just a great sponsor show. There's nothing you can do to support them other than if you see Robert Wall, give him a big fist bump, pat on the back, tell him thanks for sponsoring the show. And, of course, 365 Game Day, great place to get all your gear. So swing by there when you get a chance.
We probably need him set up some kind of gear for us to wear on here, you know, like the – Coach's Corner or something.
There you go. Absolutely. Just tune in next week, and we will have another show for you. We will all be back, hopefully, God willing, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.